Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 through 13 says something to us. Think about what it says when he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete." I want you to look at that. The Old King James has the word perfect. There is an imperfection in our lives. And so Paul writes to these Corinthian Christians and he says, "Now, brethren, I've got a final message to give to you, and that is in the perfecting of yourself as a child of God, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. Be complete." And a part of that completeness is that we are to not only to have good comfort and of one mind, but we're to love each other. And so the whole emphasis this month of our monthly emphasis in our worship will be greeting one another. And let's look again at that memory verse. You don't have to quote it again. But look at Romans chapter 16, verse 16 that says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you." Now, sometimes individuals will look at this and they'll say, that sounds good to me. I sure love to kiss. Well, you first of all understand that Paul says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." And so that individual says, "I sure love to kiss," might ought to look at this verse and recognize it's modified by the word holy. But you see, here that church was, and they greeted each other in many ways. Paul greets them this way, does he not? Whenever he says, "The churches of Christ salute you." And so here's that church at Rome, and here's a letter that is used to greet one another. And we'll notice later in the lesson, there is that statement that says, "Greet your friends by name." And so this is not that the Lord is instituting a new way of greeting to be a part of Christianity, because this was a very, very common way of greeting. Is it the Eskimos that rub noses when they greet each other? I don't know if you could greet one another with a holy nose or not, but I mean, you understand, Paul is not instituting a way of greeting, but he's regulating a way of greeting. And I think about Palm Beach Lakes. One of the things that impressed me from the very first day I arrived here was the fact this is the huggingest church on earth. And I would not at all be surprised if Paul were writing this letter to this church today, he'd say, "Greet one another with a holy hug." I'm telling you. And I thought a moment ago when we were all greeting one another as I walked around the auditorium, how much hugging there was going on. And I thought about those who watch this on the internet, and you may not be aware of the fact that we have those who regularly come and are part of our assembly just because of watching this on the internet. If they tuned in late and they'd seen us hugging each other, I just wonder what they would have thought as they saw what was happening earlier before we actually began our worship, when we're all walking around and greeting each other. Folks, I want to tell you something. Greeting one another is a part of Christianity. That's why this emphasis this month is really, really important. You know, look at the word "greet" in this thing and analyze our memory verse. The word "greet" is found 48 times in the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? 27 books of the New Testament, and 48 times we find this word "greet" used and in various forms. And it was a part of the way of life and a part of Christian life. And we need to really, really make it a part of our lives. So that's why all this month we're going to have our name tag. And I hope that you'll wear your name tag proudly and display it prominently so others will be able, if they don't know your name, they'll be able to greet you and to learn each other's name, because a part of Christianity is that. Now, the word "greet" is an interesting word. I don't look at the definition of it. Strong's, who is one who defines Greek words, defines this word as to enfold in the arms. That is, by implication, to salute figuratively, to welcome. And so the word is translated embrace and greet and salute and to take leave. So here's this Greek word that's prominent in the Bible, and literally it means to put your arms around them. Folks, that's what Christianity is all about, and that's what church has got to be. If we think about church only being something where we come and we're only here whenever we've got our heads bowed or something, we're praying together or we're sharing in the Lord's Supper, we don't understand one of the real vital aspects of Christianity, and that is this ability to greet each other. We need to love each other enough so that we're really, really glad to see each other. And if that's not your level of Christianity, then I hope that you'll come out of your shell this month and you'll become that kind of individual that opens yourself up so that others can get to know you, because it is a part of Christianity. In fact, let me just illustrate how the word is used. The word is used in Luke chapter 1 to describe the time when Mary, pregnant with Jesus, met Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. Now, you read that account, and the Lord is told to Mary that she's going to have with child, and tells her that your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And then right after that, the Bible says, and Mary went to Elizabeth's house, and they greeted each other. Now, I want to ask you, you think they walked up to each other and said, "Hi, Elizabeth"? You know how women are. Men may be the same way, but can you imagine what these two pregnant women did when they got together? Can you imagine them comparing all of their morning sicknesses and all the other stuff that was going on in their life? Can you imagine what was happening there? They were really, really glad to see each other. And so the word means, put your arms around that individual. To salute them, not out of a military kind of a salute, but to honor them and to say, "I am so glad to see you." And a part of church is that's the attitude that we've got to have. And so when we see each other, it's not just in a very cold, formal way, "Well, how are you doing today?" A part of Christianity is to say to each other, "It's really good to see you today." To greet one another. And that's why our memory verse is to greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you, Romans 16:16. Let me see if I can illustrate it again. As Paul is on his way to Rome or to Jerusalem, knowing that when he arrives at that city, that he's going to be arrested. Several times, and we did not list the verses here, but several times as he lands and heads up to Jerusalem, he meets with saints in various places. Now, he's told those elders back in Acts chapter 20 that "I know that bonds and afflictions await me." And so, whenever Paul sees them, in his mind, it may be the last time he'll ever see them. In his mind, it may be the last time they'll ever see him. Can you imagine the warm affection there was as Paul went from place to place and met with these saints? Saints that he'd known in the past, and they met each other and perhaps were seeing each other for the last time. You understand what greeting is all about? It is a compassionate opening up of oneself to let others, individuals, know they're concerned about them. Now, to emphasize the importance of that and where this fits in our lives, we need to understand that we are diverse, and the church by its very nature has a diversity. And that is why it's so important that we get to know each other, that we need to be a part of the lives of each other, to embrace, to put our arms around each other's, to share together and to talk to each other, to spend time and to really, really be glad to see each other. Not in some artificial way, but I hope by the end of this month, this church will be the kind of place where folks said, "Gorman, I am so glad to see you." And that's what I'm talking about. I'm glad that you're my brother and that we can express this attitude. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not some cold, formal, "Well, let's come together and let's be very holy and let's worship God." As holy as we need to be when we are worshiping God, and as sacred a time as that is, we need to understand that a part of Christianity is that we really, really enjoy being together. Think of the diversity in that New Testament church. Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 3 when he says in verse 28 that in the church, and no doubt this was true of the church, those churches in Galatia, they were made up of Jews and Greeks. Can you imagine how different a Jew was from a Greek in New Testament times? Think of all of the diversity that they had about their religious background, and think of how the Jews were very particular about the kinds of foods they would eat or the kinds of food they would not eat. And think about the diversity of lifestyle, where fornication had been a part of the lifestyle, the religious life of many of these pagans, and now they're mixed in with those who are children of God. Think of the diversity of background, of their religious background, in the sense that there's paganism, and then there is this background that is seated so firmly in by the Jews in that Old Testament and all the aspects of the Old Testament. And so you get those kinds of individuals together, Jews and Greeks. And then in the church, there were those who were slaves and free. You think of even in our own day, of a diversity there exists, and sometimes an arrogance that exists by those who have and those who do not have. You just imagine the economic difference there would have been between the level of those who were slaves and of those who were masters. I'll tell you one of the thoughts I've had, and it's got to have happened somewhere in the Bible, and that is for there to have been that individual who was a slave, and here's his master. But in the church, that slave became an elder. Now here's this man who's the master out here in the economic lifestyle of the people there. But in the church, here is that individual who is the free man who by his very arrogant nature would say, I'm a whole lot better than anybody else. Now he finds himself in the very body of Jesus with somebody. And that individual in the church is his slave through the week and is his overseer on Sunday. I don't know if that's a good way to describe it or not, but can you imagine that? And imagine what it'd be like, and just the distinction, when they would all sit down together and they'd try to have a common meal together, and some would eat meat and some would not eat meat, and some of them had been used to the matter of drinking blood, and some would never ever have ever considered doing any of that. And then there is that diversity, and then the difference between male and female and how women were regarded in that ancient time. And so the Bible says, look, there is that diversity that is in there. You see it again in Colossians chapter 3, where we read not only of those who are Greeks and Jews, circumcised and uncircumcised, that physical manifestation of that which distinguished Greeks from Jews, and then the word barbarian. We've talked about this word in other times. The word barbarian was a word that was coined by the Greeks, who thought they had the most beautiful language on earth, to describe those who could not speak Greek. And so they would look at somebody who couldn't speak this beautiful Greek language as people who were just saying bar, 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 and they made up a word for it. That individual who could not speak Greek but said bar, bar, became the barbarian. And so they use that word to describe. Now then, can you imagine those folks get together? Here's this educated guy, and he speaks Greek fluently, and sitting right beside him is a guy who can hardly even speak the language, and he's a barbarian. And then you look at this, and then he talks about these slaves and free also in this passage, but then he talks about the Scythians. What do you know about the Scythians? Well, in preparing for this lesson, I ran across this quotation from Hippocrates, the father of medicine. Hippocrates describes Scythians as widely different from the rest of mankind and like to nothing but themselves, and gives an absurd description of their physical peculiarities. Herodotus describes them as living in wagons, offering human sacrifice, scalping and sometimes flaying slain enemies, drinking their blood, using their skulls for drinking cups. When a king died, one of his concubines is strangled and buried with him, and at the close of a year, 50 of his attendants are strangled, disemboweled, mounted on dead horses, and left in a circle around his tomb. How'd you like to worship somebody like that? How'd you like to be in the church where these Scythians had scalped some relatives of yours, chopped their head off, and now is using their cup, their skull as a drinking cup? You see how diverse the church was? One of the things I love about Palm Beach Lakes is the diversity that's here. Visiting speakers that come in said, Dan, preaching at Palm Beach Lakes is like preaching at the United Nations. And I think in a sense that it is. Think of the diversity there was in the New Testament. And imagine a refined, proper Greek woman who was schooled in all of the learnings of all of the Greeks, and she's come to worship God, and sitting beside her on one side is a barbarian and on the other side is a Scythian. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Be perfect. Greet your friends by name. Do you understand? Do you understand how important this concept is for this month? And that is getting to know each other. And so the whole emphasis in an outward way with name tags and maybe fruit basket turnover or whatever we do to try to mix it up so we get to know everybody else in this church. The whole concept is for us to grab a hold of a part of Christianity that as churches get larger and larger, it's more and more difficult to have, and that is to get to know each other. And so the Bible talks about greeting one another and how difficult it would have been. But you talk about the unity of the church, I'm telling you, tied directly to that and standing over against that and to the surprise and wonderment of the New Testament world, and maybe to the surprise and wonderment of the 21st century world, is how people who are so different can love each other. You look at the unity of the church. Go look at those verses that says, There is neither. And then he says, the reason these things do not exist, in verse Galatians 3:28, it says, because you're one in Christ. Here's the reason there. Here's the reason in Christ this distinction does not exist. Male, female, slave, free, Jew, Greek, barbarian, Scythian, and all the opposites of every one of these. In Christ these things cannot exist. Why? Because we are one in Christ. And then look at Colossians 3:11 that says it even more emphatically. But in Christ, Christ is all and in all. I sometimes wonder how people can put up with me. And then I think, it doesn't have anything to do with me. It has to do with what they are. Christ is in them. And that's why. And the whole picture of the New Testament church, and I hope it's a picture of this very congregation, is that it's a place where folks really, really love each other. Let me see. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul, as a prisoner, writes to the church at Ephesus and says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Called by God, made to be children of God. Now, walk worthy of that. How? Well, it talks about inward attitudes. Not arrogance. Not I'm better than you. I've got more money than you. My car's better than yours. I've got a better house than yours. And I can speak better than you. None of that. With all lowliness and gentleness. Long-suffering. Bearing with one another. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit of God has brought us together. And whether that unity is preserved or not is dependent upon us and on our attitude. I think it's interesting that tied directly to the encouragement to have unity is found in the very next three verses, a basis of that unity. And that is the oneness of the body, the oneness of the Spirit that called us together. The common hope that we share. The fact that we have a common Lord. You need to hear that. Because sometimes individuals say, well, it doesn't really make any difference what you believe. Just love each other. No, there is the Lordship of Christ that is involved here. And then the common faith that we have. Not a diversity of beliefs, but all believing the common things. And having all experienced the same baptism, the one baptism, and the one God and Father of all is above all and through all and in you all. And by the way, you look at the latter part of that verse and you obviously see that Paul was a Southerner because he says, in you all. But there is that unity that is to characterize those of us who are children of God. Now, are you aware of the fact that Paul had never been to the church at Rome? Romans chapter 1, he said, brethren, I've wanted to come there a lot, but I've not been able to do that. I want to take just a moment and look at Romans 16. Greet thy friends by name. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. I want you to look at Paul in Romans chapter 16. Look at, start where he says in verse 6, greet Mary, verse 7, Andronicus and Junia, verse 8, Ampilus, Urbanus, Apelles, those of the household of Aristobulus, Herodian, the household of Narcissus. Then look in verse 12 where he says Tryphena and Tryphosis, Persis, Rufus, Asyncritus, and all of his buddies who are in verse 14, Philologius and Julia. I sure am glad you got a name like Tom or the kind of names that you have. How'd you like to live then? But Paul knew them. Folks, that's the background of verse 16. Paul knew these brethren. And he said, greet them. And so when you get to what verse 16, greet one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Look at this passage again. And when you analyze the passage the second time, look at how much Paul knew about these people. It's not just know each other, it's know about each other. It's not just Mary. It's Mary who labored much for us. It's my countrymen and my fellow prisoners. It's my beloved in the Lord. It's our fellow worker in Christ. It's my beloved. It's one who is approved in Christ. It is this family of Aristobulus. It's my countrymen. It is those who are in the Lord. It is those who have labored in the Lord, labored much in the Lord, chosen in the Lord. And this woman, his mother and mine. Wouldn't you love to have known that kind of relationship that Paul had toward the mother of Rufus? And then the brethren, and then the saints, and then there is this sister that is involved, and there is greet one another with a holy kiss. Paul never been to Rome. There are 24 names in Romans 16. When Paul thought of the church at Rome, he didn't think of some circle on a board. He didn't think of some people he didn't know anything about. Whenever he thought about that church at Rome, there's this brother, and there's this sister. And by the way, in this list of 24 names, there are six women's names that are mentioned in this. Paul knew the church at Rome, though he'd never been there. And in the Lord, if Palm Beach Lakes is going to be what Palm Beach Lakes needs to be, we all get to know each other. And so I'm going to ask you for this month, anytime you see a face in this church that you do not know, introduce yourself. Anytime there's somebody here that you don't know this month, I want to get to know you. Tell me your name. Now up front, I want to tell you that this year I introduced ourselves to one of our deacon's wives. Can you believe that? She was not with her husband, and I met her, and I didn't know who she was. And I went up and I said, well, I've introduced myself to find out who. If I can put my foot in my mouth again and again, trying to learn everybody's name, let's do it this month. Let's make this month a time in which we become even more what God would have us to be. I love that song, God's Family. Look at the words of it because I think it's so important. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us His own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven. God's family. That's what you feel about your brethren here. Let's work this month as we try to magnify Christ by learning how to greet each other. Let's learn how to do that. Back up one slide and let's sing this song together. All of us sing it and think about the words of it. We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us His own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home.
And sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.
Three quick thoughts. Let's greet one another because it is a command. Let's greet one another because it's natural. And let's greet one another because it's wonderful. For somebody sitting around you today that you don't know, don't you dare walk out of this building without learning who they are and learning something about them. God's family. You want to be a part of it? It's real simple. Just do what they did in Bible times to be a part of this great, great, marvelous family, and that is to believe in Jesus. John 3:16 says that you must do that. If you're going to have everlasting life, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish. You've got to do that. But it's more than faith. You've got to make up your mind, I'm going to be a child of God. I'm tired of just sitting out here floating around, sort of a believer in Jesus, but never got committed to anything. You've got to make up your mind to repent. The Bible says, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, that except you repent, you'll perish. Turn away from what's wrong and commit yourself to something that's wonderful and right. And then when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, you do that and I'll confess you before the Father someday. Then you can be baptized into Christ, that every sin you've ever had can be washed away by the very blood of Jesus. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. And the most wonderful thing happens. God makes you a part of the church, a part of the kingdom, a part of the body, and most importantly, a part of His family. And there's nothing on earth like being a part of the family of God. I think about heaven. There's that wonderful homecoming. And so as a part of the kingdom, the church, the body, the family, the Lord says, okay, Dan, you've got to do your best. You be faithful unto the day that you die, and I'll give you the crown of life. What's your need? You need to become a part of His family? Is there some way this church can help you in some way? Whatever you need, won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing.